This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Tonight is Wednesday, January the 8th in the year 2014, and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our topic tonight, how to learn how you learn. I am thrilled and very thankful. This topic and this whole show was brought out by a loyal listener who contacted us through Facebook and suggested just this very topic. To that individual out there who sent this, and you know who you are, I hope this helps answer some of your questions. When the topic came in, I thought about it for a little bit. I knew the right person to go to. Ann Dolan is with us today in our virtual studio. Real quickly, before we get into the show, just one quick announcement. At the end of this month, January the 31st, I'm headed down to Boca Raton for the 2014 Transition Conference. That's being held at Lynn University. It's a day-long conference, and I know I'll be presenting along with Dr. David Nowell, who we've had on the show a couple times, Rob Todisco, who we've had on several times, and Dr. Patricia Quinn, who also has been on several times. The keynote speaker is Dr. Russell Barkley, so he'll also be there, who's been on the show a couple times. Matter of fact, if you just look in our archives, we did a special edition of show with him back in late November, early December to preview it. If you're interested in attending, go to www.lynn.edu/transitions, you can register there and check out what's kind of going. I do encourage you. Last year was sold out at about 600, and last I heard, they expect to sell out. So if you're interested in doing that, please check that out as soon as you can. Let's see. I don't know if there's any other major announcements. So I tell you what, let's get into the show.
We're here with Ann Dolan, who is the president and director of Educational Connections. She holds a BA from Boston College in Child Psychology/Elementary Education and a master's degree in special education with a concentration in learning disabilities. She's a former public school teacher in Fairfax County, Virginia, and has more than 20 years of teaching and tutoring experience. The goal of Educational Connections is to provide individualized one-on-one instruction based on each student's learning style. Employs more than 200 tutors and works with over 8,000 students. Ann has delivered hundreds of presentations focusing on academic achievement and parenting issues. She's the author of the award-winning book, Homemade Made Simple, Tips, Tools, and Solutions for Stress-Free Homework, and A Guide to Private Schools. More information on Ann can be found at Educational Connections at the website at ecttutoring.com. And with that, welcome, Ann, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
I'm thrilled to have you on today. Our topic, how do you learn how you learn, is a fascinating topic, and I'd like to thank this actually was a topic that was sent to us at the request of one of our Facebook followers, and actually specifically we got some specific questions I want to ask you kind of later in the show, but I thought it was kind of a great topic, and given your background and kind of what you do, I just thought this is you're the perfect match for this. And just again, you were a school teacher in Northern Virginia, and now you oversee an army of tutors that are helping thousands of people in the D.C. area that have learning disabilities and other special needs. Is that accurate?
That's right, and about 40% of our business is helping kids with those soft skills, those executive functioning skills. So a lot of what we do is helping students to stay organized, to better manage their time and to plan ahead, and also to study more efficiently. I found that kids are actually oftentimes studying an adequate amount of time, but they're really not studying efficiently. So we help them kind of tweak what they're doing.
And what called you to actually work with those with ADD and dyslexia and those types of things?
Now, I was a special ed teacher for a number of years, and then I went into general ed, and I thought that the issues that my special ed students faced would be contained to that population of students, but it actually wasn't true. I found that the strategies I used with those kids worked just as well as with my general ed population of students. And I just saw this gap in education that, you know, a lot of our kids are really bright and they can do the content area work. They can, you know, they know the history dates, they can do well in math, they can read well for the most part, but what they can't necessarily do is comprehend well what they're reading, study effectively, like I mentioned, and they tended to procrastinate a lot. So I found that in working with them in those particular areas, it made a huge difference, not just in one subject like algebra, but across the board in all of the subjects that they were encountering.
So it's interesting because what I'm hearing you say is there's really kind of two components to this. One is the actual studying and learning side, and then there's kind of the organizational and executive functioning side. Is that am I misunderstanding you?
No, I would say that's true.
Interesting. Well, let's if we can, because there's definitely those two components. But can we begin? Can you just talk a little bit about this? If you've got somebody out there. I hear a lot about people, you know, you need to, you know, focus on your own learning modalities and those types of things, but how do you figure out, how does a person figure out how they learn?
Well, you know, there's such a thing as learning styles. People say, well, I'm an auditory learner, I'm a kinesthetic learner, I'm a visual learner, but actually there's not a lot of science behind that. What we do know is that nobody is one type of learner, but that you're going to learn the best when learning is multisensory. Here's the thing, Jeff. Students study by rereading their notes, which is very much a visual skill. They go back and they'll read their textbook, they'll read through their notes. 84% of kids are studying in that capacity, and that is the most ineffective way to study. And so we know that if you just tweak it to make that studying multisensory, you're going to remember a lot more. So instead of just reading it, you also want to take notes as you read. And if the book is online, you want to listen to it and follow along as you read. So if it has that audio component and you can hear it and follow along and take notes as you go, you're going to remember far more than if you just read it.
It makes a lot of sense to me. The more senses, or as I say, the more modalities that you're including into it, you're bringing more into the picture. It's easy to do, or as I say, if you're going to remember something, you first have to register it, then you have to pay attention to it in order for you to actually remember it. And by listening and taking notes or following along, it's easier for you to pay attention to it longer, to save it, if you will, into your long-term memory. That's just the world according to me. That doesn't necessarily mean it's right. But you want to
comment
right, on
Jeff.
That?
You're right, Jeff. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's where the science is. I just got back from the Brain and Learning Conference in Boston, and it was all about that. You know, how do you make these memories stick? And it is, there's a lot of interesting things about it, but certainly it is multimodal instruction or multimodal learning and studying. But also, you know, there's a lot of research on the mood that you're in when you study, and if you're in a more positive mindset, you're actually going to be able to remember more. So if you're really hating to do something, that might not be the best time to study. The best time to study might be, you know, maybe you listen to music for 20 minutes, you get in a slightly better mood, and then you study. There's also some interesting research about smell, and it's actually pretty powerful when it comes to learning. There was a research study done that showed that when students were exposed to a smell as they were studying, let's say they lit a peppermint candle or something like that, and then they studied with a peppermint candle during the day, Then they went to bed, but later on when they went to bed at night, they also lit that peppermint candle. They were better able to retain information and remember it for a test the next day than if they didn't have that smell association. So your brain is unbelievably active at night when you're sleeping. It's more active at night when you're sleeping than when you're awake. So if you can do a couple of things, like maybe do that smell idea, or even study just for a few minutes before you go to bed on that material that maybe you reviewed earlier, that, you know, time that you study, even for 10 or 15 minutes before you go to bed, you're going to be dreaming and thinking about that information as you sleep. And sleep really solidifies learning.
So I got all kinds of things kind of going off in my head because I'm just kind of reflecting back on things. And the smell thing in particular, if you've got that candle while you're studying,
mm-hmm.
and then you smell it later,
mm-hmm.
is that a learning thing or is it like an association thing? Like, you know, I remember that smell, and so I remember what I was thinking when I smelled that smell.
That's exactly what it is. It is an association thing. And so, you know, when you're thinking about that, when you're sleeping, you're just rehashing it in your mind again, and that's really what makes learning stick.
So this is really, I never really looked at this in this way before. So, for example, I've worked with some people that we call visual. They're visual learners, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what I think I'm hearing you saying is, you know, we really there's no visual learners because it's multisensory. So with that being said, visual, though, can help you organize information. Is that an accurate statement? I mean,
it is.
So it's not a learning issue. It's organizing it kind of maybe the way your brain might kind of digest it. But the actual learning part, it's not visual, but it's an organization thing.
It really is. You know, you do need all senses. You can't just be a visual learner. It's interesting, you know, during, let's say you're in class, whether you're, you know, a high school student, middle school student, an adult in college, you're only going to remember about 10% of what you hear from that lecture. But if you put in a picture and you, you know, there's a PowerPoint at the same time or there's a movie or a video, that learning jumps to 65%. So there is, you know, certainly a visual component. It's just not to say that you are just a visual learner. You really need all types of learning to remember it.
I'm just having a big aha in because I never really looked at the organizing of the information and learning as two separate things. But when I look at my experience under that umbrella, it all makes sense to me. Because there is those two components, and I'm actually now reflecting back in our conversation at the beginning of the show, is because you started talking about the executive functioning side of studying, that's as much a part of this or a bigger part of it as the learning side, because that executive functioning, actually organizing it and digesting it, is as important as the learning side is what I'm thinking.
It really is, and I think people kind of dismiss that, but that the way that you do organize the information is really important. Even just chunking the information into bits and just studying a section, taking a break, and studying the next section is really important. You know, many students have this idea, especially people with ADHD, that if they just study for a prolonged period of time, they're going to know the information for the test. But there's a lot of research that shows that cramming is not at all effective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you have a test on Friday, you study for 2 hours on Thursday, it may get you an okay grade, but you're going to get a far better grade if you just took that 2 hours and you broke it up over, say, a half hour each of the four nights coming up to that exam. It's called distributed practice, and that's one of mm-hmm. the most important things people can do when they're studying.
Interesting. Well, I tell you what, Ann, I want to go to a break real quick. And we come back. It's funny because our follower who was interested in doing the show actually made a comment in their notes. Basically, they want to know, I don't know how I learn, and tricks not to forget your keys in a reportment won't help me. And it's fascinating because I kind of want to touch base on that because I'm starting to understand why that can be important here. But before we address that and come back to everybody, and your books, Homemade Made Simple, Tips, Tools, and Solutions for Stress-Free Homework, and A Guide for Private Schools. Both of these can be purchased off of Amazon.com, correct?
Yes, that is right.
And to learn more about you or Educational Connections, the website is ectutoring.com. Again, that's ectutoring.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Breaking news. Chad introduces the new digital edition of Attention Magazine, starting with the August issue and continuing with each bi-monthly issue. The digital edition is available for easy reading on www.chad.org. Through collaborative leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support, CHAD and Attention Magazine work to provide science-based information about ADHD to parents, educators, and professionals who treat the disorder, the media, and the general public. When you advertise in Attention Magazine, your advertisement that includes a website address will automatically have a link to your website. There is no additional fee for your digital edition advertisement. It's free.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with educational specialist Ann Dolan having a great conversation. And I know I'm learning a lot, Ann. I hope our listeners do, because this is fascinating to me. Before the break, I kind of alluded to the person who was the inspiration to do the show had actually commented that tricks to forget their keys or appointment won't necessarily help. And it seems to me that that individual thing that you might do to remember the trick or the appointment is not the important thing. It's the system of understanding how you remember things is what's really the key. How do you organize something in order to digest it? Does that, your thoughts on that, Ann?
Definitely. I mean, I can give you lots of tricks, Jeff, but that's not the big picture. You first need to know, you know, how you study best. Sometimes that starts with simple things like location of studying. You know, it used to be we thought that you should always study the same place each day, day in and day out, but that's not true. Research has shown that actually if you vary the location from day to day, you're going to be more productive. And moreover, if you study outside, if it's a nice day, you're going to even remember more information. So sometimes it's just taking the first step of, all right, where am I going to learn best? And what is the most distraction-free place for me? Sometimes people actually learn better in the hum of a busy area, and that's why you go to Starbucks sometimes and you see people set up complete, you know, their office there. They may as well have a printer. And they just are really productive because they do need that energy around them. So often first it's where am I going to study best, and then the next step is, all right, how am I going to study best? Because sometimes if you're ADHD, it's not by yourself. Sometimes people need that accountability of working with somebody else, of sharing ideas, discussing the topic back and forth, and that actually makes them more productive than going at it alone.
So I just some thoughts. You said just first, you know, the location's important, and you referenced Starbucks. It's kind of fascinating because there's a lot of people that I've coached that they can study much easier if they have what we call white noise, so there's like a fan in the background, and or earplugs, because if there's a noise, like a slamming of the door, what I've had people recount to me is that captures their attention, it pulls them away, they lose their working memory, then they kind of come back, it's like they have to start over. Does that, is that making sense in this context, Ann?
Absolutely. You know, there are all different types of learners, but You know, I, for example, I have one child that's exactly like that. You know, a pin could drop and that would distract him. And I have another one that insists he learns best with, you know, listening to music. And he's actually productive that way. It really is a personal thing.
And so here's what's really cool for me is that when you think in terms of distractions, one is you might need white noise to limit the little things that might capture your attention. The Starbucks things, I actually call that a white experience. It's the same thing, but there's people kind of moving around. Everybody's paying attention to something else, but that can be it. Other people, earplugs would be helpful. Other people that I've coached that are very sensitive, is something as simple as the tag on the back of their shirt that might be scratching at them a little bit. Mm-hmm. That can be distracting for them, so they might need to kind of cut that out. All kinds of those types of things, it makes some sense to me now because that's not a learning thing. It's kind of an executive function to remove those distractions, particularly for ADD. So that really makes a lot of sense to me. And then you talk. Yep, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was getting ready to transition to how you learn best, but if you had a comment, please.
Well, I think, you know, ultimately you really need to be comfortable. And I think as parents with children, we just think that they should sit at a desk and, you know, they're going to focus better that way. But ultimately it's so different from each person. And I found that a lot of kids actually do far better, and adults too, on the couch with a lap desk, you know, cushy on one side, flat and hard on the other side. And comfort is really where it's at when you're studying. It doesn't have to be, you know, I've seen parents invest a ton of money in making the perfect homework area, but that it is not at all necessary.
So I have to ask you this. We interviewed Dr. Roberto Olivardi on Attention Talk video a while ago, and he said that he discovered by accident, actually, that he reads 7 times faster if he's on a subway than sitting at home. So, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
Or you think he's making
No, I think that's why the Starbucks thing works for some people, because when there aren't other distractions, you're there to do your work. On the subway, there's not much else to do, you know, and then therefore you're more focused. And the more focused you are, the faster you're going to learn.
And so I've interviewed David Gwork on Attention Talk video too, and you know, when he was in college, literally in college, he would sit in a rocking chair and sing his notes to himself to like the tune of She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain When She Comes, but he'd rock back and forth. So that's just a comfortable environment that would free him from distractions so he could actually digest the information.
Could be. I had a student once that would study on her exercise bicycle. And she found for her that movement was really, really heightened her alertness and her ability to focus. And, you know, when she was on her exercise bike, she really wasn't doing anything else. So it was her time to study.
It's actually funny. We have a pre-tape video that we haven't released yet. Maybe it'll be released by the time this thing comes out. But it's fascinating. Another guy, Pete, he actually, when he needs to read a book, he actually goes for a walk while he does it. Again, this is just, for whatever reason, that limits the distractions for him to be able to focus in on it, which goes back to your number one point is you got to free yourself from distractions. You got to find that place for you. And the reason I'm sharing some of these things is that perfect study place is not the same for everybody. It doesn't mean sitting at a desk in that environment. It might for some, but not for everybody. I'm not misrepresenting that, am I?
No, you're exactly right, Jeff. Absolutely.
So then the second piece of it is if you've got the right location distractions and you've got the right mood, you know, so you're not in a bad frame of mind, the second thing you touched on is how you study best. Can you speak to that in a little bit more detail?
Sure. There's a lot of research on how people do learn optimally. And far and away, rereading your notes or reading through a textbook, as I mentioned, is not at all effective. But what is effective is if you can create a practice test for yourself. And this is the most effective thing that students can do. So they want to anticipate what the professor or the teacher might put on that exam and then kind of create their own test. And by doing that, you're kind of practicing a broad range of skills, and you're recreating that information in your own words. And that's a familiar pathway for the brain. Anything that's in your own words is going to be remembered better. And that's why a practice test is super powerful.
Wow. So like when coaching, the paradigm of coaching is you always begin to ask, what would it be, you know, what's possible if this? What you ask these questions where people have to go out and kind of think and create this picture in their mind. It's kind of like they have to go get information and data. And by by saying, I wonder what the exam is going to be on. Now you're actually trying to stand in the teacher stuff and kind of understanding that information and anticipate what's kind of going on. It seems to me that that'd be really, really powerful to begin forward thinking as opposed to reactive thinking. That concept of forward thinking and being able to stand their shoes. Am I on off tangent on that, or is that
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think of it like that, Jeff, but that's exactly what it is. You're being proactive instead of reactive.
So another question I have with how you study best, there's been a number of people that I've coached, and they were trying to learn or digest some information, and I had a suggestion that they go teach it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And the notion really is their gut reaction is, but I don't know it. And my notion is yeah, but you'll figure that out while you're teaching it to the other person, because if you begin to explain it, you can get feedback both verbally and from like body language if you're making some sense. So that notion of sitting down and interacting with somebody, maybe not teaching somebody, but that stuff, does that fall in the how you study best category? Is that just limiting distractions or both, or is what I'm saying really doesn't make any sense?
No, it does. Absolutely. I mean, it is all about how you study best. And for some people, bouncing ideas off of somebody else, reteaching something, it's all about, again, putting it in your own words, which is a familiar pathway to your brain, to the brain. And, again, that's how you will remember it. So as much as you can create that practice test, have a discussion group with others. That's why in college discussion groups are so popular, because they really do work. But we don't think of them when we're, you know, as adults, we go back to school, or even as high schoolers, they just, you know, we kind of tend to think, oh, I got to do this alone. But for many people, especially the ADHD group, they're not always productive that way.
And I've coached a number of people. What stands out, though, and this is across the board, but particularly med school, I guess they're going into residency, and they're having to listen to lectures via podcast and stuff, and number mm-hmm. one is there's no interaction with anybody where, you know, they were doing well in med school, but the wheels are kind of coming off. It's not as sensory, and most of them are doing them in their house at a fixed location that they don't get to adjust the location for those distractions. So it seems to me how that can all kind of come together and just be a really kind of a toxic environment for the wrong person, because if it's not the way that you study and you have to do it in such a way that it brings distractions in, it could be a real problem.
It can be. In fact, I worked with a medical student in the same boat. It was really interesting, because I thought, for as smart as this person is, he didn't really know how the brain encodes and really, in a way, gathers information, how he can best remember it. And he was kind of that same mindset, Jeff, where he was just listening to a lot of lectures. He was reading his notes, and he couldn't quite figure out why it wasn't working. And then when we introduced a lot of these strategies, it just made sense to him, and he started to absorb the information in a different way. And so all these things seem like common sense, but I tell you, when I look at the statistic that 84% of kids study by rereading, that's so telling that although they may know these skills, they're not using them in practice.
Absolutely. Well, Ann, we need to go to another break real quick. When we come back, one of the specific questions the individual who inspired the show I would like to talk to you about is speed reading. It's really kind of fascinating. So we'll come to that in a second, but as a reminder to our listeners, go check out Ann's book, Homemade Made Simple, Tips, Tools, and Solutions for Stress-Free Homework, and check out her Guide to Private Schools. Both can be purchased off of Amazon.com. And if you want to learn more about Ann or her program, just go to ectutoring.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here learning about learning, among other things. And before the break, I kind of alluded to our follower had asked a question, is speed reading real? And it mentioned, I mean, a lot of people write about it, but he hadn't found any scientific studies to prove it. And if it is real or not, is it any good for those with ADHD? Can you comment on that?
Sure. I mean, it is real, and it can work. In fact, I was curious about it myself, and I remember I did an online training program called IQ, and they had an infomercial years ago. And it was interesting because my rate of reading did pick up by, like, threefold. So, but what I found is that it did not at all help my comprehension. In fact, my comprehension dropped, and the results were not long-lasting. You know, it worked for maybe a week. I sustained those gains. And what the research says is that speed reading, you can certainly improve how quickly you read, but you're not improving your comprehension, and often that falls. And the point of reading is really to comprehend and understand what you read. Otherwise, you wouldn't read in the first place. So if you're looking to just, you know, get through information quickly and you just need to skim something, it's probably okay. But if you're really reading for deep meaning, it's not a good idea.
So if you're reading in a study environment that you're looking to learn something, it's definitely not the way to go. Now, if you're cruising through the newspaper trying to find something that's interesting, that might work for you. But in terms of I need to go to class and I need to learn, it doesn't sound like speed reading is really a workable strategy.
That's correct.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Any other tips or things that you can think of that might be useful for our listeners in this whole learning area?
Well, there's a couple of things, you know, that I found to be really helpful for people. One skill that I've seen that a lot of people use, but it's not always the best idea, is highlighting. And oftentimes people will highlight as they read, which has not been shown by research to be effective. So there are certainly other things that are better, that are a better idea. There are a lot of apps out there that can make a difference for studying, and they can make it more interactive than simply going through your notes and highlighting. One of my favorite to learn basic information is called Quizlet, which is a web-based platform to help people remember facts, to remember vocabulary. And when you're stuck, when you're, you know, even doing math or science or any other subject-based thing, instead of just going through and highlighting, you can kind of like make a practice test for yourself by going to a site like Khan Academy, which allows you to practice math and interact with other forms of medium, such as science. So there's other technologies that are far more active than passive, and that's what you want to look for when you're learning.
Got it. While you were saying that, I did have a question that kind of popped into my mind. Many of that I've coached with ADD seem to be like macro learners, and they need to understand the big picture of it first before they can get to the details. If they're given a lot of details, they can't assemble it. And I'll share my own personal experiences. Because of my challenges, I couldn't go read Shakespeare. If you give me the plot, then I can kind of read and kind of follow along and see how the details might fit to that plot-type picture. But if I just read it, it's just horrific for me, and I don't even know what I'm reading when I kind of get through that. Is there something to what I'm saying? Is like some people just need to understand the gist and the big picture and then work their way down, or is that just something I've cooked up in my head?
No, Jeff, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of research on what predicts your comprehension of material, and far and away, it's background knowledge. So if you know something about what you're going to read before you read it, you're going to retain it more. That's why Spark Notes, Cliff Notes, for example, are super popular, not just to read them in place of the literature, but to read about what you're going to read about before you actually read it. And that's the value of that type of summary information. That way your brain kind of has something to hook onto, and it's just not so ambiguous when you begin to read it in the first place.
So when I say I first got into coaching and they trained me and I went out there and they were telling like, and I got, okay, I understood all the tactics and I knew the outcome, but I didn't really feel like I understood what how coaching really worked. Where we are today, as I would argue, is that life coaches, personal coaches, executive coaches, we're all coaching the same thing. We're actually coaching a person's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the trick about attention is only the only person that can observe attention is the one that's doing it. And so I use this metaphor now. I feel like I'm like a blind basketball coach. All I can do is ask questions of the people on the court to try to understand kind of what's kind of going on. And it's the moment I'll say, well, what would Michael Jordan do? It's actually a filter for a way them to pay attention to something different, and they might go mm-hmm. do something and have it work. And that conceptual understanding for me completely changed the game, because all of a sudden now I could see all the tools and understood how they worked, why they worked the way they did. And so for to me, that was... It wasn't necessarily background knowledge, but it was a fundamental way of looking at how something worked. Not the butt knowledge, not that you do step one, two, three, four, but the, oh, I get this, so I could grab the, I understand the tools and can use different tools to kind of come and go. When I describe that to you, is that the same thing as background knowledge, or is that conceptual knowledge? What is that?
Well, I think what you're saying is that you needed to have a big picture in the first place, and many people need that. That's the type of learning they do best.
Uh-huh.
So if they have a framework for their information, they're actually much more productive when studying. So if you don't know where you're going, you know, you've probably heard that, you don't
yes.
know how quite to get there. That's why I always tell students, you need to kind of be a detective. You can't take things at face value, because people will tell you things all the time, but nobody likes to be told what to do. You
yep.
kind of have to figure it out by yourself or have a coach. So, for example, when we work with kids, we often encourage them to be detectives, and we'll say, try, where do you find you're most productive when you study, for example? And, you know, a student might say, well, I study here and here. And then I might say, okay, what if you tried studying here on one day, here on another day, and then let's talk about how it's different, not which one is better than the other, but how they're different. And that skill is called metacognition, and there's a lot of research that shows if you understand how you learn, you're just going to be far more productive than if somebody tells you how to do it.
Everybody, what she just said in about 30 seconds is like, it sounds so simple what she said, and it is really simple when you get it, but it's like, for many people, it takes a while for them to pull that apart and really understand it. But that metacognition thing, thinking about what you're thinking or kind of observing your mind, it's absolutely amazing. In coaching, there's so much of pausing and noticing your thoughts, because if you can kind of pause and notice it, you're actually in choice at that point in time, and it can do some amazing things. So, and I need to wrap this up a little bit. I have to tell you today, one of the most powerful things that I got from it is there's the learning side. And what you said, it's multisensory, and the more that you use, that really makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. But I didn't necessarily really understand the organizational side and the executive functioning side. So to me, when people are talking about learning, I think I'm going to look at the world a whole different way, because there's the learning side of it, and then the executive functioning side, they go hand in hand. I mean, they have to work together, but understanding that differences to me, I think, will help me understand, you know, this is the learning side, it's multisensory, that's what's kind of the executive functioning side, how your brain works, kind of helps you eliminate those distractions so you can digest that information. Is what I said, did I misrepresent anything? Did that make sense?
No, you're right. You're right, Jeff. That's a great way to put it. It really is a balance between the two. It's, you know, having that structure and framework, but also knowing how you learn best. That's the trick. And, you know, back to the metacognition, nobody can ultimately tell you how to do it. You, as a learner, need to discover it, experiment with it, and find the best way for your brain to learn.
And so going back to the key thing, there's an individual that I was coaching with ADD, and I walked in, I go to their house, and they wanted to work on organizational skills. And it's really funny because I just watched them and observed them, and I noticed that this person had, like, I don't know, wads of notes on individual sheets of paper. And they didn't think they were organized. I said, that's interesting, because they seemed to write everything down. And when I would go coach them, they would always pull out their questions at the end. I'm like, wow, there's something here that's really, really kind of cool. And I began to realize that that's actually kind of they would record those types of things. For organizationally, they couldn't always find those pieces of paper. And literally, we put a paper plate in each room because they have ADD. When they've got something and they walk in from being gone, they don't always drop it all at the kitchen when they walk in, sometimes make it in the bedroom. And when they get that, they're not going to go to the other end of the house. We just put them on these paper plates. So when they need to go find something, there's a finite number of plates for them to go find it, and it's really changed their organizational skills because we've kind of met them where they are. And that might be a little distant from the keys, but if you understand cognitively how you remember your keys or how you remember to make an appointment, that can actually help you digest what you're learning, because those are executive functioning issues, and if you know what works for you, you can apply that to the learning environment. So for me, Anne, that's the key. It's not just remembering your keys, but remembering the process that you remember on the executive functioning side, and that can be powerful.
Yes, you're right, Jeff. That's for sure.
With that, Anne, I want to thank you again for coming on the show. This has been—it's been a great education for me, and I hope it will be very helpful for our listeners. Again, your books—I lost my notes. Can you repeat
Homework
the name
Made
of your
Simple?
Books real quick?
Yep, sure. Homework Made Simple and A Guide to Private Schools.
So, Anne, thank you very much. Everybody, hope you enjoyed tonight's show, and catch us again for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care. Bye.